Blog Talk Radio.
Radio Network. This is Perfect Plex Talk Radio, people. Listen, I am your host, Mike Knox, and indeed, I spell my fucking name with three motherfucking X's because I'm motherfucking hardcore, because this motherfucking show is going to be motherfucking lit today, y'all. 347-637-3859 is the number to call. And oh my God, people, I cannot believe that today is the day that you have made to join us right here where Barbershop Talk meets radio. It's time to talk War Games. It is time to talk Survivor Series. It is time to talk Raw. It is time to talk SmackDown, people. Victor, you follow us on the Twitter at Perfectplex Talk Radio. Also follow me, yours truly, by my namesake. I am loud. I speak loud. And fellas, listen, it is not my fault if you are inside of her and she doesn't get loud. I spell my name, however, with three X's. I already told you why, Mike Knox. Also, welcome to the program all the way from the first state. You know, all your money, all your taxes, all your credit cards. They go for this guy. You might want to be careful about what you say. His name is Dice Man. What's going on, Dice? How you doing tonight, brother?
What is going on? What is going on? I am ready to get into it. I'm still on a high from the weekend and this past couple of days from wrestling. I'm ready to get into it.
Also, he is in the kitchen cooking up not just food, but he's also in the studio cooking up beats. He's in our host radio station down here in Fox Sports Radio, 1340 AM, WHAP Hopewell. Also, that's 96.9 FM. Also in Richmond, Virginia. His mom don't call him Micah, but you can find him on Twitter at ME Richmond on the Twitter. What's going on, Micah?
So much stuff. I got to cook ribs, macaroni and cheese. Oh, my gosh. I don't even know what happened in wrestling this week. So much to cook. My gosh. Was it worth remembering? Did everyone copy each other again?
That might be the worst introduction to yourself you've ever had in this program. Any other program that you're associated with on this program. Sorry. You know I'm going to keep it funky, keep it real, and keep it honest. Listen, dude, that was trash. Let's do it again. All the way from the whole state of Richmond, Virginia. At 1340 WHAP Hopewell, also 96.9 FM. His mama calls him Micah, but you can find him on the Twitter at ME Richmond. What's going on, Micah?
Okay, fine. I'll come in and do the things like I always do. Got the ribs on the grill, going to be smoking with you, but you're not here, but that's okay. I'll make sure I pack it up and send it down your way. That's how it goes down. Nobody turns their frowns upside down. Put it at the top.
Bars.
Thank you. Yeah, he's not a rapper, though, y'all. Listen, it's a lot of things that took place over the last time since we've been here. We normally on Thursday, but we know tomorrow is Happy Turkey Day. And so we wanted to be, you know, a good radio broadcast to you guys and give you the show regardless. You know what I mean? So We know you have a lot of shows you can listen to, and you could be anywhere else, but you chose to be here with us, so we appreciate that. So we're here for you. And again, the number to call in, which you guys, I know by now, I've been giving this number out for 9 years. Only I can count on my hands how many of you guys have the balls to call in. I'm sorry. The inner testicular fortitude to do it. It's okay. I may emasculate you, okay? I may minimize you. There's some other words I was called this weekend, too. I might actually do that, too, because I don't know you. But it's okay. The floor would still be yours for 2 minutes before I go ahead and dog out your opinion. 347-637-3859. Somebody call me. I'm just kidding with you guys. Listen, that's number for you guys to call me. This is a show for you, the wrestling fans. Get in here in the barbershop where you belong. Listen, guys, a lot of things to discuss this week. And let's just take it back to the week that was professional wrestling and start it off with the week that kicked off. For me, it kicked off Friday night because I'm going to go see Justice League. But for wrestling fans, it kicked off Saturday night as we were introduced for some into the War Games presented by NXT. I'm going to start off with you, Dice Man. Your thoughts on this momentous night that was War Games?
Oh, man, my gosh. War Games, I was blown away. Pretty much every match from top to bottom, I enjoyed a lot. I haven't been on the NXT scene looking at everything there for a while. So this was like, Sanity is like my favorite faction in professional wrestling right now, and I love anything with them in it. But the three matches that really, really had me at the edge of my seat Velveteen Dream, that match with him and Aleister Black, that match was really good to me, and that had me hooked immediately.
He's a new character
right back
in
NXT
content, too, by the way, on WWE 2K18. And I will say he was one of the first people. Actually, he's the only person I'm going to play with because I downloaded the new content. Just thought that after Aleister Black did it.
That match right there, and then I really enjoyed, I thought the women's Fatal 4-Way was really good. It was really action-packed. There were some really good spots in there, so that kept me. And Ember Moon, who I've been saying she should have gotten that title 2 matches ago against Asuka, she finally gets the big win, and Asuka comes and congratulates her, looking oh so fine in that dress. Oh, my gosh. And the main event, the War Games match, oh, man, it was so unpredictable, and the tides changed so much in that match that I couldn't guess what the finish was going to be. I couldn't guess who was going to win, and I feel like that is the perfect formula to keep any wrestling fan at the edge of their seat, hooked, entertained, wanting more, looking to come back and watch the next thing that they're going to do.
Well, you heard Dice, and let's hear from Velveteen Dream.
Hey, this is 2015 Tough Enough competitor Patrick Clark, and you're listening to The Soul in Sports on Fox Sports, 1340 AM, Hopewell, with Mike Knox and the crew.
Whoops, my bad. I just dropped his government. Y'all know who he was anyway. Some of y'all forgot. I know Dice said that was him. Okay.
I definitely forgot it was him.
This is the show the pros listen to. We get them on here before they make it famous. We get them on here after they become famous, and we get them on here after they become legends. Don't believe me? Just Google what we've done over the past couple of years. Turning to you, Emmy Richmond on Twitter, your take looking at the War Games, because I'll be honest with you guys, I had to go back and watch it. You know my schedule. My plan was to take a nap before War Games and then watch it so that way I wouldn't be tired going into Sunday having to be up early. My daughter woke me up at 8 o'clock, but I didn't wake up till about 9:45. Okay? All I saw was the entire War Games itself. I went back and I did watch the women's match, but that's literally all I watched. I've been meaning to watch the Aleister Black and Velveteen Dreams match, but I honestly can't speak on it. I've watched it, but I haven't finished it. You know what I mean? My schedule is
so you're missing
and crazy.
So much.
So, I plan on watching it probably tonight, actually. But I did see War Games, and I watched it with my kids. And for me, watching War Games was such I can't even explain it. I watched War Games when I was a child with my father. So to watch it, me as being a father with my son, it was amazing to me. And my son calls Killian the Hawk of professional wrestling. My son, my kids love Giants for some reason. I don't know. When I was a kid, I wasn't a big guy of a Giant, Big John Studd, you know, those kind of guys. It wasn't my guys. My kids, I guess they're so short, They like these giant wrestlers that show up on in wrestling. But they enjoyed War Games. I enjoyed War Games. I thought War Games itself was phenomenal. I love the bumps. I love the action. I love everything about War Games. You couldn't take nothing away from War Games. But again, Emmy Richmond on Twitter, Micah, your take from War Games.
Well, you know, you had a fantastic rendition of War Games. I was able to watch everything all the way up until my schedule got stupid too. I was able to watch everything up until the NXT Women's Championship. I did not get to see Andre Cien Almas win the championship match. I did not get the chance to see the actual War Games match. Those are the two things I really wanted to see. And my
what?
Schedule got stupid today.
Hold on, I was mad. At least I saw War Games.
No, I didn't. I saw the beginning match. I saw the second match. I saw the women's championship match. I didn't see the last two. But you know, but as always though, just seeing how the way they kicked off the show, you know, anyone who doesn't understand what NXT is for, I honestly believe, this is just my honest opinion, I believe always, ever since its inception, that NXT has always been for the hardcore wrestling fan that cannot stand the John Cena's or the Roman Reigns on the main roster. That's why many people who say that NXT is better are usually the kind of fan that actually prefers certain things like a consistent strong style. The venues, if you notice, when it comes and this is what you talk about when it comes to production value, the tapings are always in a small venue. So when you enhance the sound of what's going on and the action that's going on in the ring because of the smallness of the venue, then the crowd is closer, therefore the crowd reaction can be more organic and it can put more things over that in a main roster setting it won't be able to go over as easily. So it's different when you have 2,000 to 3,000 people and then you have 10,000 to 15,000 people. You can tell what kind of crowd that they're reaching out to in NXT because there's only you notice that the NXT crowd seems to have more respect for what's going on in the ring than they do on the main roster. The main roster crowd could care less about pounds. That's what I noticed. I think NXT is definitely for the hardcore wrestling fan who wishes for Attitude Era type stuff, really strong looking matches, very physical matches. Because when I saw that look, Lars Sullivan, first of all, that's a dumbass name. I'm sorry.
Is it dumber than Dolph Ziggler?
It is dumber than Dolph Ziggler. I think it's just as equally as dumb. That those are golden shovel names, just Dolph Ziggler and Lars Sullivan. Like, but look, let me tell you something. The dude looks like a big old German corn-fed, German sauerkraut-fed dude named Lars. Like, he looks like a Lars. Like, so it's the Sullivan that throws me off. Like, Lars Sullivan, what? I'm trying to tell you, look, if there was a fifth Wyatt family member, that dude would be it. That dude is huge. And the way Chris Hero was striking, as he always does, made him look so daggone strong and made him look so daggone dynamic as a big man who can just go off on people. And I think he was just a guy a while ago. He was just a guy at NXT. And then they just said, okay, well, you're huge. Let's do you like we did Braun Strowman. And surely enough, hey, here you go, going against one of those most notable stars, not only in NXT, but in WWE, even though he needs to lose weight again. He used to be bigger than that. But I have to agree with you, Mike. I would have to say I didn't expect that kind of match out of one developer team dream. I saw some of his matches in NXT prior to his feud with Aleister Black. I thought he was a pretty basic dude. I thought he was pedestrian. Like always, I'm dare say I ain't say he wasn't athletic. I like his elbow. That elbow drop is freaking amazing. He should call it Purple Rain. But he had, I think it once again is one of those things where it should be called Purple Rain. He wears a lot of purple, so he likes Prince. I think that one of the things that makes him that can make him real special, like with anybody else, is that he can probably go in the ring with any kind of wrestler, and when he has a guy of Aleister Black's caliber in there, it can bring out the best. And I like the dynamic in the match. I was emotionally invested in the match that I didn't even know and study about that much, and I was like, why am I emotionally invested in this match? He's teasing. He's got on his face on one leg and Aleister Black's face on the other leg with NXT right in the middle. This dude's playing mind games. He's mocking Aleister Black. They're going back and forth. I'm sitting here like, this is great. And then at the end of the day, he loses, looks strong in the loss, and Aleister Black recognizes his name, which is what he wanted. He wanted him to do. He wanted another grown man to say his name. That's all he wanted. And he finally did his wish after he got a foot shoved down his throat. But I really like that match. And I had to agree with Dice. That should have happened two matches ago. Ember Moon was the strongest looking outside of Nikki Cross. Ember Moon and Nikki Cross were the two strongest competitors when it came to Asuka's reign. And honestly, one of them should have already had the title off of Asuka. There would have been nothing wrong with her dropping the title to one of them and breaking her streak. But the streak keeps going. She never lost. So she better not lose on the main roster anytime soon. I can't wait for that Nia Jackson Asuka match. It's going to be really good at WrestleMania.
Yes. Real quick, I wanted to jump in. There was two spots in that Velveteen Dream and Aleister Black match that really had me like, wow. It was one Velveteen, he got thrown out of the ring and tried to hurry up and run back, and Aleister like faked him out and did a backflip off the middle rope, and as soon as he landed, he sat down. Like, he sat down in Indian style position, and Velveteen was trying to slide in the ring, and when he slid, he was face to face while Aleister Black was sitting there, and he just looked at him like, no, he can't do this to me. Like, he just had his mind, he had his mind boggled at that point in time. And then the move that Velveteen has called Roll the Dice was mm-hmm. It's similar to Sister Abigail, but he takes his arm that's holding him across and puts it under his neck and flips him around the other way, which I thought was amazing. I thought that was the end of the match right there. Only thing I didn't like out of that match, there was about 8 super kicks in that match. And, you know, like, I hate it because, like, Shawn Michaels used that move to end his opponent, and now everybody just uses it, and they kick out of it immediately.
First of all, those are not super kicks. And every commentator that says they're super kicks is misrepresenting what the move is. Those moves are specifically designed as thrust kicks to the face or to the gut. The reason why they're not super is because they did not tune themselves up. They didn't get charged energy from the crowd. And they didn't summon up their ki. They didn't summon up their karate ki to put the chin music right in their face. So every time a commentator, and Mauro, I'm sorry, man, you messed up on this one. Mauro, Michael Cole, or as some commentators that I really love to hear say, Michael Pohl, Todd Phillips, those are not super kicks. They're thrust kicks. Super kicks are finishers, okay? That's what Dolph Ziggler does. Dolph Ziggler has a super kick now because it actually finishes people. What these people got ain't nothing but thrust kicks, okay? I just want to clear that up because that's misrepresentation of what a super kick really is.
On top of that, I think the people that have like the best super kicks actually are the Usos and Dolph Ziggler. Anybody else that use it, I hate it with a passion.
So you hate when Kevin Owens uses it?
I hate when Kevin Owens does it.
I don't mind the Usos because they do it together, but I don't like when
that's what makes it so sweet.
And I don't mind Dolph because I know people hate the comparison, and I won't go on my fans' hatred this week, right? But I need fans to understand that everything is going to be copied that we see in the world, not just in wrestling, your phones, your computers, your games, your movies, your TV shows. So when wrestlers, channel other wrestlers, I don't see why it's such a big deal. You know what I mean? So when he does it, I'm okay with it because he's paying homage to Shawn Michaels the way he does it. But the Young Bucks, everybody uses it. I remember I had a thing with like hashtag depth of superkick. Because it was just every single wear that it was being done. Let's bring Hugo in here. He stepped away from his Friendsgiving to call him to the program today on his Friendsgiving. Hugo, have you had a shot yet? That is the question inquiring fans of yours want to know. Are you drinking?
Yes.
Am I what? I'm sorry?
Are you drinking?
I just got home from work. I haven't even left yet.
Oh, all right. Well, since you're on the show, I'm going to have a drink. How about that?
Do you plan on drinking? If not, I'll throw it back for you.
At 10:30, I will. After the show.
All right. War Games. We're talking War Games, buddy. Your thoughts about War Games?
You're going to kill me. I didn't get to watch it, man. I've been so busy. So busy, man. So busy. I got to go back and watch it.
Wah, wah, wah. Two.
I want Mike to play a song. Or, I'm sorry, I found it.
I was waiting for one.
We're waiting, Mike. We're waiting.
Only because I stepped away to go in the kitchen to get some orange juice. Or I will.
What are you drinking, Mike?
And
is that what you're drinking?
not tonight. Tonight I went to go see Justice League last week, remember? And they had a drink called the Alter Ego. Inside the Alter Ego, it was called, as a matter of fact, I got it right here. I'll bring it up for you guys, for those who want to get it. It was the Justice League themed drink presented by Angry Orchard. The Alter Ego is the alter ego to Clark Kent, also known as Superman. Inside the Alter Ego, it says, every hero has a Superman ability. Find your power with the Alter Ego, Angry Orchard Crisp Apple, Patron Tequila, Blue Curacao, fresh squeezed lime juice, simple syrup, and pineapple juice blend together to give you an epic stand against evil. And that's what I'm drinking all Thanksgiving and Thanksgiving Eve.
Well, bottoms up, Mike. Bottoms up.
I'm special that way. And I told you I'm a hop snobber. So, but War Games was incredible. I think that's been the consensus around the internet that actually some people say it's better than what the main show would put on. They were screaming that before the main show even got put on. I, as always, as you guys know, I stand different from most people because to me it's one, like one band, one sound. It's just one company, one company. It doesn't matter if it's NXT, doesn't matter if it's SmackDown, doesn't matter if it's Raw, doesn't matter if it's 205, which, by the way, Hideki Itami is coming to 205. They ran that vignette yesterday on 205 Live. So Hideki Itami is coming to 205 Live. I think that's what you send Finn Balor, by the way. I think you put Finn Balor, Hideki Itami, you get back Neville, who, by the way, is not being let go of his contract. They're still trying to work a deal out with him to come back. Inquire in mind just so you can get that. Dave Mescarin didn't tell you that. Mike Knox just did. Okay. So they're still working that out. I think 205 can be saved if you bring the right people over there. I don't think they're going to actually put Finn Balor there. That's just me speaking hyperbole that he should be there. But with that being said, that moves us to the main event, which does lead us into the Survivor Series. And this is where 100% I watched, I enjoyed it. You go to the new sponsor that we have on the Solon Sports, which is the Stardust app, where I gave my results after each and every single match of Survivor Series. Mike, I got on late. Mike, I tried to get you on, Micah, so you can give me some audio, but it was a little bit too late. I came in late, it was Thanksgiving Eve. I was still doing some shopping out there myself. But what a way to open up the show. You open up with the New Day taking on the Shield. Shield wins that match, which we all thought they weren't going to let no black guys just sit there and beat the Shield after the Shield hadn't been together for so long. So that, of course, that's what happened there. But the Shield beats the New Day. After that, they went straight into a 5-on-5 match with the women. Asuka being the lone survivor there. To me, my markout moment of the night was watching Tamina and Nia Jax go at it. I just thought that was absolutely beautiful. I loved it. I screamed, "Cousins, go at it." You actually, me and Dice was watching it together as I was watching the Eagles game. I was pretty on one that night, too. He said, and I quote, "Remind me never to watch anything." But you kept saying, "I'm never watching nothing with him again while he's drinking." I just kept screaming. Eagles and Survivor Series on at the same time. Then we had United States Championship, which is now starting to look a little bit different now that we know the outcome of why it was, and that is that Baron Corbin beat The Miz, which to me I thought was great, and then 48 hours later it gets tainted because now we know The Miz, who then dropped the title to Roman Reigns, is leaving to go film the Marine 6. He was also triple power.
Is he really?
Yeah, he was triple power bomb on a Raw Fallout show where the injury, quote-unquote, was sustained to keep him away for the next. He will not be back until the Royal Rumble. He is out.
Go film that movie, Miz. Go film that movie, Miz. Marine 5?
The Marine 6. He's been.
Yeah, I thought it was Marine. They're on 6 of these already?
This is 6.
Yeah, Miz has done like the last 3, 4.
This will be his 4th one. Cena did the first one. Orton did the second one, and The Miz has done them all since then. The only one that was good to me was the one with John Cena in it, by the way.
Ted DiBiase did number 3.
Miz,
like, that
wasn't
even good. Number three.
That wasn't even good.
Yeah,
no,
Ted DiBiase did number three.
He did number three? Okay. I just know that,
yeah,
to me, the one with John Cena was the only one that, to me, had a bigger budget, so it came across differently. You know what I mean? Like, the other ones looked like they were made for USA movies. You know what I'm saying? So, for that, you know what I'm talking about. You know the USA movies used to look like, right? So then,
Lifetime movies, the Lifetime movies.
We had Champion versus Champion, where the Usos beat the Bar in a great match. Then we had the Women's Championship, where we had Charlotte defeat Alexa Bliss. Then we had the Universal Championship, where Brock Lesnar defeated AJ Styles in a surprising good match. Then we had the match that turned wrestling fans off, because Triple H and Braun Strowman were the lone survivors defeating Team SmackDown, where Triple H turned on first Kurt Angle, second his brother-in-law Shane McMahon, where then after the match, the look on Braun Strowman's face says it all, turns on Triple H, and as the fans would say, now Triple H inserts himself into another main event. My statement to fans is, name me one time Triple H got himself involved and it didn't turn out to be good. I bet you that he has a 90 to 80% ratio where the times he did interfere or become part of a show with the main character, it was for the better. So that's where I stand. I'm a Triple H mark. Whether I'm a Triple H mark or not, I will always insert the same thing. Who would you put in those areas? And I know you can all add a whole bunch, but forever and a day, it's nothing wrong with what it does. If it comes off crappy. That's not a trappy is a word, but if it came off crappy, then I would say, okay, well, if he's still doing it. But every time he does it, guys, it works. So there's your Survivor Series. That was your rundown. That's what happened. I'm going to you, Huggos. You just walked in the house. Did you see Survivor Series at least?
Oh, absolutely. I thought Survivor Series was a hell of a show. I definitely enjoyed every match from top to bottom. The only thing is, my only complaint was the whole thing about Triple H. Yes, I understand that it's wrestling a storyline. We got to wait and see what happens. But to me, what it didn't make sense, though, Mike, to be honest with you, and help me out here, because obviously, you know, I need your help with this one, since I know you understand when Triple H put himself into everything. But help me understand this. Are we going with the direction of Triple H versus Braun Strowman, or are we going to go with the direction of Triple H versus Kurt Angle, or is it going to be both and Kurt Angle in the long run? Because I obviously, Kurt Angle and Triple H, great. I mean, it'll be awesome to see it again. They obviously had great matches in the past. But how long can you stretch it, though? You know what I mean? How long can you stretch that the attack that Triple H had on Kurt Angle, if the direction is to have Kurt Angle versus Triple H to WrestleMania?
In a very short manner, because I don't ever want to have a blind tag that lasts for 7 minutes like I did on Micah on Monday's program, okay? I don't know what happened, Micah. I went off into a tangent. I apologize for you. And it was so funny because Micah came back and said, damn, I didn't know a blind tag was to last that long. That's the longest blind tag in history. So to give you the short answer to that, I don't care. Because, A, whoever he's with is going to turn out as a good match, and B, that's where I believe, in my mind, I'm a better wrestling fan than most people. I don't care. I don't look past
You're a better wrestling fan.
To each their own. You may say tomato, I may say tomato. You say Marvel, I say DC, right? Not even really, because I say them all, but just trying to make a point. Because most fans, and what Hugo said, are like that. Well, all they think about, oh, what's happening at WrestleMania. I mean, you talk almost every day, DJ. We never look that far into the future. You know what I'm saying? Like, we go, like, once the show's over, we talk about the show, and we don't talk about the future. You know what I'm saying? Like, because the future to me is whatever they give me next. And that's I've watched wrestling like that for so long, Hugo. You know what I mean? Nothing wrong with what you think. I just, to think that way is to me to try to book the show. And if I book the show, that means I'm not going to get what I want to book. It's not going to come out the way I want to come out. Then I'm going to be disappointed. So I just watch it. I don't book The Flash. I don't book Arrow. I don't book Gotham. I don't book Justice League. I don't book The Sinister Six. I just watch the shit. You know what I'm saying? I just watch it. So I honestly, until you brought this up, I had no thoughts in the world would it be Him versus Shane, him versus Kurt, him versus Braun. I don't know. Don't care. He's going to be in one of them. That's all I can tell you that I believe is going to happen for sure.
Okay. But to go back to the whole Survivor Series, though, Carter, I thought it was fantastic. AJ Styles and Brock Lesnar, to me, had a fantastic bout. Obviously, it was the right call.
Hold on, Paul. Blind tag. I got to say what Michael just said in the chat.
You did?
You say JoJo, I say Paige. I thought that was funny. Go ahead.
So I thought AJ Styles and Brock Lesnar definitely had a good match. You know, mm-hmm. I like the fact that Triple H. I thought the that AJ Styles' delivery in the match was fantastic. You know, it made it seem believable that it was kind of this David versus Goliath, and then AJ Styles had a chance to win. I thought it was a perfectly good book match. I enjoyed it. The pace was great. They understood each other in the ring. Usos in the bar, what can we say? It was a fantastic bout, even though the whole heel versus heel, you know, match is kind of like, eh. But then again, it is the WWE in the modern era, and we have talked about it. Is there really such thing as heels or faces in this day and age? But I thought it was a fantastic bout. Alexa Bliss and Charlotte, Mike, you said it, the two best women right now in the business. I can't disagree with you on that one. Charlotte, to me, has a notch over Alexa Bliss, but they both can work, and they both work well together, especially if you watched also on Monday Night Raw, when Alexa Bliss came out looking all depressed and all of that. I love that, by the way. I just love the way Alexa Bliss definitely does present herself. And she's such a great character and so believable. She's definitely done a whole complete 180 since she first debuted in the WWE. The 5-on-5 women's match, yeah, you know, I mean, obviously, if Asuka was going to be part of Team Raw, you know, there was going to be no way that Team Raw loses. And then we all knew
right.
The Shield versus the New Day. We all knew that what the end result was that. Are we giving belt grades right now or no?
I'll be able to wait till everybody gets done there. Michael Grant, Grandbody P, checking in, and he made a statement. He said, towards my Triple H comment, he said, every Triple H storyline has great investment in it. It's not like he's in the main event of WrestleMania every year. So, I think sometimes, you know, and I look at wrestling, and I want wrestling fans to think about your lifetime of watching wrestling. There's always been, and I said this a couple months ago back, Hugo, when me and you, when nobody else was here, I believe, with us, when I said, when the Dudleys came back, I'm going to say, you're going to have legends mm-hmm. to stay there to get other people over or to wrestle with mm-hmm. other people. Other guys mm-hmm. can't become legends if they don't fight the legends. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So when your legend should be Edge and certain guys like that who are not there because of injuries, he's really all you have mm-hmm. left from that generation is him and Jericho. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Everybody else is gone. That's why you got Cena still hanging around. What did Cena say? I wouldn't have to be here right now if you did your job, talking about Roman Reigns. You know what I mean? So your take on Survivor
yeah.
Series and me, Richard, on the Twitter.
Oh, yeah, I remember.
I make that statement for you.
Yeah, no, because, you know, as much as a Cena hater than I am, I mean, good gosh, was he using every line from every fan that doesn't like Roman Reigns. He was using every last one of them. I will tell you, I may hate John Horacio Rodriguez, Anthony Felix Cena as a wrestler, but the brother understands how to get himself reaction in the business, because at the end of the day, whether you're supposed to be a good guy or a bad guy, if you have Jason Jordan type reaction, you're in trouble. So just saying. But when I watched Survivor Series, man, I had a really, really good time watching it, man. I have to give credit where credit is due out, and we talked about this a little bit on Monday's show, with how the New Day was not made to look weak in the face of the Shield. We knew the Shield was going to win. Yes, I know it's kind of hard to say that we knew, but come on. I mean, first time they reunited, and Roman Reigns ain't ready to do his heel turn on them yet. You know, it takes a little bit. You got to build to it. We had a good idea that they were going to win. Honestly, I was thinking that Alexa Bliss was going to win over Charlotte, because I thought they really wanted to build her up as a very dominant wrestler for the Raw, so that way when Asuka snatches it from her, or Nia Jax snatches it from her.
Is the title
Raw
title now? You said for the Raw.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
For the Raw. Pause.
For the Raw.
Yeah. So
you said it.
So no, but, Yeah, I know. That's what I'm just saying. But that's what I thought. But I'm glad Charlotte won because she cements herself again as the best female wrestler on the roster. I would have to say that Alexa Bliss is probably the overall best female personality on the roster as far as being able to really carry a feud on microphones, be able to really sell what's about to happen to you or to do what she does as her character. So that was a great match. Honestly, I would like Brock Lesnar to care about everybody that he destroys. You knew for a fact that he cared about wrestling AJ Styles and he cared about wrestling him. I mean, yeah, he did some Suplex City stuff, but he did.
Give credit to that to meet up Paul Heyman. I think Paul Heyman made him care. I think Paul Heyman's more integral to what Brock Lesnar does in the ring than we sometimes don't think because Brock is where he is. There is no Brock Lesnar without Paul Heyman.
I believe Paul did all that for us. Yeah, Paul did all that for us. He deserves every dime that he gets as the advocate when it comes to doing things with Brock. But you know what? Honestly, if it was Jinder Mahal, we know what would have happened. It would have been 14. No, it wouldn't have been 14. Brock Lesnar would have probably suplexed that dude 25 times and then gave him 4 F5s just to make a point about how trash he was.
Blind tag, real quick. I want to say if you guys really – when I watch matches, especially main events or things with guys that are considered the best in the business, if you really look at the way that he handled AJ – he was pretty careful, even though he shows aggression.
Oh, that
you can tell by the way
he.
I think the only thing that he messed, the only thing when AJ tried to backflip and he caught him, and
yeah,
they kind of
yeah.
leaned back to the ropes. You can tell that he still cared, you know, about not dropping him, and I didn't think it. Everybody on Twitter was saying, "Oh, they botched that." But if you have a guy so aggressive, like Brock, and you have a guy who's so finesse and so smooth with every move and it's every fluid. I thought it brought more realism to the match, but the way that he slammed AJ, even though it showed aggression, he still did it the technical way, the way that you're supposed to work safe with your guy, and I thought that was really important and building on what was just said about how he actually did care about wrestling AJ Styles.
Yeah, no, I would have to agree with you. Those two major botches that you can easily identify in the match when he used to go for the backflip Scorpion Death Drop, so to speak, backflip Scorpion Death Drop DDT, and he tried to go for a Tornado DDT. Both of those, they kind of slipped off the ropes, but Brock Lesnar, like you said, protected him, and AJ protected Brock as well. So by far, in my opinion, outside of what the Usos able to do, like, can people actually start giving real credit to Sheamus and Cesaro for what they have done to the tag team division on Raw and keeping things relevant and their in-ring work and their hard in-ring work. I mean, these two guys, one was already a champion. One should have been a champion at least once, even if it was transitional. And the matches that they put on a night-in, night-out basis are aggressive, are gritty, are strong-looking, and they still work safe with people. Even if he got his teeth knocked down his throat, he's still working very well with people and looks very, very good in all his matches. I really wish that Intercontinental Championship, WWE Championship run comes Cesaro's way sometime soon. I know there's a scrum in that main card, in the main event roster right now, in the main event portion of it. But, man, there was a good time. Where there was any downtime, it was this year to be able to put a championship on like a guy like Cesaro or something like that. But, you know, Brock's got to drop it first. To either Braun or Roman, and then we'll finally maybe see a guy like him there. I had no problems with the women's Survivor Series match; thought it was really good. I had no problems with this with the main Survivor Series match, and I have no problems with Triple H being in it. And here's the mastery of one who calls himself the Game. He started a feud. He had a feud with Kurt Angle. He still has a feud with Shane McMahon. He has a feud with Braun Strowman now, and he still has a feud, and he has a feud with Jason Jordan. He has four different feuds going on at the same time just by showing up a week ago. Okay? I know some people don't like the fact that he's one of the old guys that is not putting over new guys, but if you pay attention to what he did at Survivor Series, he let a new guy put him down twice.
choke him like he was a little bee, and he punched him. I mean, he allowed him. Hold on. Let me say it the real way. He smacked him like a bitch. He smacked him around like a little bitch. He choked him down, and then he gave him two running power slams to finish him off. What? I know that Triple H
on,
is a golden shovel user.
Speak.
I know he's a golden shovel user, but only to people that he actually don't like. But when he thinks that you're going to be something, and when he's behind you, he will put you over. He will put you over. We've seen it time and time again. He did it with Seth Rollins. He did it with Roman Reigns, even though it was met with a lot of boos on that one because the fans just didn't like Roman Reigns. He did that. He's doing that with Braun Strowman. And you know what? Be surprised. He's going to do it with Jason Jordan, unless he really doesn't believe in Jason Jordan. So Jason's got to show something in these next few months if he's going to be put over by Triple H clean. And that's how I felt about it. Whenever you're ready for belt grades, I got one. Survivor Series I thought was great.
Okay.
It wasn't a world beater. It wasn't like, oh my gosh, I'm gonna jizz in my pants because of how great it is. Like, it wasn't that. But it doesn't mean. But you know, for everybody who just wanna. But this is one of the ones where I'm agreeing with you, Mike. For everybody who just wanna crap on the product because they just wanna crap on it. Well, I have to. I'm not drinking the Kool-Aid, but hey, it wasn't like this pay per view was not bad. There was good wrestling. Nice, strong-looking wrestlers on the program. You had star power on pretty much all the teams, and you had a good story. You had stories that continued out of a major pay-per-view, which is one of the things that sometimes a lot of companies don't do. They just end at a pay-per-view, but you have stories continuing out of it, which is good. I liked it. I thought it was great. So it was good.
Shout out to King Bonds in your 720. I'm sorry, on the Twitter for the Alexa Bliss picture he did in that tweet. Way to go, my brother. Way to go. You are the real MVP. Dice Man, what is your take on Survivor Series?
Oh,
I mean, I think
man.
They pretty much
Listen,
covered everything, but go ahead and add your 2 cents.
Yeah, first of all, let me see. If it's not evident to any other wrestling fan in the world, I said this on Twitter, and I said this probably 2 years ago, and the Usos are the best tag team in professional wrestling. Not in the WWE, like those commentators say. I think that's super disrespectful. They are the best tag team in the professional wrestling industry. However, Sheamus and Cesaro have a good fight for them being like a 1A, 1B. Like, they are really, really good. And the fact that they came from just being competitive, I thought that was really good. And it built chemistry. And now they're arguably a top four team in professional wrestling. So I thought that match was everything they were supposed to be. I knew that the Usos were going to go, well, maybe because I'm an Uso mark, but it's just
We worked on a final white blue Uso hat that night. We went kind
I'm
of
still waiting. I'm still waiting.
Home.
I know it's gonna come. I know it's gonna come. If not, I'll go to the mall and take the logo there. Like, this is what I need. But I think the Usos are straight faces. I don't think that they're a cross. I don't think they're a grayscale. I think that they are straight. They are straight baby faces, simply for the reason why. We talked about this many times, and I think it was about 3 or 4 shows ago. We're in that period where, like, you know, they came out so disrespectful. But, you know, like, what's the thing on Twitter, like, that everybody likes? Savage. Savage. Hashtag Savage. That's exactly the attitude that the Usos came when they did that heel turn. It was savage. They're going to just talk mad shit on anybody and everybody that stands in that ring in the tag team division, and they're going to disrespect them, but they're going to come out. And little by little, they add more stuff to their music because their music was bland as fuck when they first started. And they, like, now, I can't wait for the Usos' entrance. And then if you look at the crowd is into it even more. So that turns them from the actual heels to the babyface. I feel like anytime that you have a team that has a theme music or something that everybody can chant to, they can bop to, I feel like at that point you're no longer a heel, and that's the way I feel about the Usos, because their promos, bar none, are better than any other tag team in the world. The only tag team that I could think that could give them that is the New Day, but the New Day are becoming pretty much they're becoming stale with the content that they have, and what the fuck was up with them handing out pancakes? Pancakes? Pancakes, my dude. And that's even gayer than the cereal. That, I'm sorry. I know I have a lot of gay friends. Might be gay listeners. That was even more. That's even gayer than the cereal, bro.
I would never buy that box of cereal for my kids. Because it's like, okay, so now you're telling my kids it's okay to eat booty like groceries. You know what I mean? Like, it's okay to eat. Like,
I
bought the box, but
I'm guilty.
I'd have bought the box. I'm a grown ass man, and every once in a while, no offense, I'm sorry, I'm a monster among men, and she's my JoJo.
Oh,
I might have to eat the booty like groceries. So, I'm a grown ass man.
I can't.
Okay, I agree with you though on the same as them of being one of the top four tag teams and all professional wrestling. I've been saying a while about Sheamus. I know a lot of you guys had to kind of turn me on to Cesaro. Pauls. Not that I wasn't a Cesaro fan. I wasn't a Cesaro mark like a lot of people in a time period about a year or two ago had became. I think, and I've always thought he's where he is now. I've never thought of Cesaro as a top guy. And it's the way he talks. It's the accent. It's just that it's NXT, yes. WWE, no. He's not going to be, you know, to me, the first one that might come up with an accent like that to beat him, it could have been Wade Barrett, you know what I mean? And it might be Drew McIntyre. But that's about, and those are rare because it's a certain look. Cesaro just, you know, in Vince's wrestling, is always going to be a look that's involved. You know what I mean? And the way Cesaro talk, I just don't think he's company carrying material. I think he's where he is, and he's great at what he does. I think he's great at tag team. He's great at U.S. He's great at Intercontinental. He's just, that's to me where he belongs. And everybody's not made to be on the top level. Everybody wants, that's the problem is that we don't have everybody now, even including James Ellsworth, and he did a great job at what he did, but he's a jobber. And people have to understand that certain people are jobbers, whether they call them a superstar or not. Not calling Cesaro a jobber, but he's not just superstar that some of these guys are. And I think every fan trying to make everybody a superstar, and that's the problem. And, you know, it helps out. As Dice taught me a lesson on Sunday, when you change a name and you say certain things from Big Red Machine to the Big Red, you know, what was it? The Big Red Machine and the Monster, that changes the name.
The Monster and the Demon.
That immediately changes
his character. Yes,
changes
exactly.
The narrative, right.
Yep.
So when you say superstar, it automatically makes you think, oh, well, he's supposed to be able to do everything. And they're not.
Mike, blind tag. Really quick, blind tag on that. I just wanted, like you just pointed out something. Just because the crowd also makes you seem quote unquote like you are the best thing out there does make you a superstar. You just said something about Cesaro. Cesaro, he's a good wrestler, right? But he lacks something. There's something that lacks about Cesaro, and I don't know if it's maybe. The fact that maybe his mic skills could be limited, because realistically, if you really think about it, when has Cesaro really cut a good promo? I'll wait.
Never,
right? Okay.
He did it in one of his five languages.
No, come again, never.
Yeah, so, I mean,
never
you know
happened.
What I mean? So, like, when people, you know, throw out there and throw the wrench and say, no, Cesaro's a superstar, he's great, he's this, he's that, is he really that great? I don't
Double
think so.
Double blind tag. I think
sure.
Sami Zayn has more personality than Cesaro. And I know you hate
no.
Sami Zayn.
Oh, God.
I
okay.
think
well,
triple blind
has
tag.
More personality.
Triple blind tag.
Uh-huh.
You got the triple blind tag. All this goes out the window because of one guy and one guy only, Jinder Mahal. No,
uh-oh.
Because
okay.
Jinder Mahal. If it wasn't for Jinder Mahal having a championship, if it wasn't for Jinder Mahal holding the main title, the company's main title,
mm-hmm.
then I would believe and agree with everything y'all said. But now because of Jinder Mahal, the door is open for a guy like Cesaro.
But see, I don't think the door is open. I think what we know about being the show for the intelligent wrestling fan and what we know to have been true is he was given a title because of his Indian descent and because he opened up in a big Indian market. And I think
– Yeah, just like Alberto.
People ask me, well, how'd you get on John Cena's DVD? How'd you get on SmackDown Magazine? Right place, right time. Right place, right time. He was a white guy rapping. I happened to be a black guy with a bunch of belts. He just fit. right place, right time. I did nothing special. I am nothing special to him anyway. You know what I mean? Right place, right time. That's how Jinder Mahal got it. Right place, right time. It could have been, just what it is. But overall, let's give our Survivor Series grades out. We got some other things about the show. For me, Survivor Series was a 4.5. I thought it really was good, Micah. I know you said it wasn't to jizz in your pants about. I watched it live as I'm watching the Eagles game, and I thought every single match on the card. I thought the ending where Owens and Zane did what they did was I can't take anything bad away from Survivor Series. Not the wrestling, not nothing. I give it a 4.5. Reason why I won't give it a 5 is because there were some things during the matches I could have did differently. Dice pointed out to me, I'm going to take your little thunder here, Dice, when we were watching it. You said, damn, why are you sitting there watching them girls tap out and no one's interfering? Stuff like that is where I feel like them as their characters have to take over and at least interfere, then have her get up, throw them out the ring, and put her back in and then she taps. Something. They just can't sit there and look knowingly holding on to the tag rope and watch people tap out. I thought that was whack, and I didn't like the fact that they did not use my boy Finn Balor the way he should be used. And a little side note, if Finn Balor was getting buried, as a lot of people are saying lately, we don't know that, but what I do know is Triple H still has faith in him, and you saw that immediately when Triple H got in that ring at Survivor Series and did the two sweet sign to Finn Balor. Finn Balor ain't going nowhere as long as Triple H still has some power in that company. 4.5 championship. I'm going to give it my belt grade. I'm going to give it my Macho Man Randy Savage World Heavyweight Intercontinental Championship belt. It was that damn good. Oh, yeah. Can you dig it? Go ahead, Dice Man. Give me your grade.
I'm going to give Survivor Series, I'm going to give it a 5 out of 5. Big body gold WCW Booker T reigning titles from when the championship, when the company was going down and got bought out to that last match that he had against Scott Steiner, I believe.
Scott Steiner, yeah.
I would know that taking down Big Papa Pump, the big bad booty daddy.
I got the hookup. You ready to holler if you hear me? Why would
that? but listen, I one thing about the main event that I did not like was the finish. I didn't like the finish only because it seemed more comical to me than actually like what the fuck is going on here. Like I cracked up so much at the facial expression on Braun Strowman and how Triple H was reacting. Like, I didn't take Triple H serious as, like, yeah, I just won it for us. It's like, yeah, hey, you know what I did? You know, like, I just slid in here. I just saved the match because, you know, I wanted to get the win. But I just thought, like, the ending took way too long. Well, not the ending, but the celebration before, you know, it went off air. I think that took way too long because at that point, we already knew it was about to happen. So I think that it went maybe, you know, 10, 15 seconds too long. And I'm one of those wrestling fans. Like I want to suspend the disbelief, but to hold it for that long, there's no way that I could have done that. So I think that's the only thing that WWE dropped the ball on. Other than that, I think the spots, I think everything was what it was supposed to be as far as telling the story. The exact thing that I said was going to happened as far as the Raw team went. I kind of pretty much predicted everything. You know, Samoa Joe's ego was going to get the best of him as him rebuilding himself as the Destroyer and going to get face-to-face and try Braun Strowman. Of course, Triple H and Kurt Angle, I knew they were going to do, you know, they were going to get into it. So pretty much the odd man out was really like Finn Balor. He doesn't have anything serious going right now. And, I mean,
blind
like SmackDown
tag,
team.
Blind
was,
tag.
Go
blind
ahead.
Tag on your green. I'm sorry. Friend of the program, because this is the show the pros listen to, and the icon. Mr. Lance Hoyt, a.k.a. Lance Archer, who's tag team champions now in New Japan with also friend of the program, Davey Boy Smith, hashtag KES, just said they would love to fight the bar. You heard it right here on Perfect Flex Talk Radio.
Nice.
It's on Twitter. Nice. It's on Twitter. We would fight them. There you go. Everybody retweet that if you can. I'm going to retweet it in case you don't. follow. There you go. Retweet that. Let's get it started. Let's get it started. Go ahead with your grade, man, so you can move on.
Oh, yeah, that's it. That's it. The 5 out of 5.
Okay.
Big
okay.
body gold. End of WCW Booker T runs.
Go ahead with your letter grade there, Micah.
You know, excuse me. You know what? I got to agree with you, Dice. I'm going to go with big gold, but I'm going to go with the world heavyweight title of King Booker. I want to go 4.5 out of 5. World
stand
heavyweight
right,
King
right.
Booker big
over.
Gold
Do
title.
Do it over. Do it over. King Booker.
Do it King, excuse me. I am giving this the one indivisible 4.5 out of 5 King Booker. World heavyweight championship reigns, big body gold belt. Thou shalt kneel at the heels and at the feet of one King Booker.
King Booker.
Yo, quick insert. Shout out to Booker T's commentating this past couple
No chill.
He has absolutely no chill, and I love every time that he gets to talking, especially when he's running out of breath and he's still trying to get that last word in, and he just can't do it. Like, I love everything about Booker T's commentary. He gets it for me. Booker T's commentary itself gets a belt grade from me. 5 out of 5, custom made, Edge, rated R superstar, bling bling, world championships.
Before we go over to Chicago, we have 4.5 The Rock WCW Championship range from Grand Body P across the pond checking in. Y'all think Thanksgiving over there in England? I don't know if you do have Thanksgiving.
Don't.
I don't
they
think
don't
you do though. I didn't think so. Hell, we shouldn't even be celebrating that shit. But we like to eat. So, but go ahead.
We like to eat and we like football.
The three F's: family, football, and food. That's what happens on that Thursday once a year. Go with the letter grade, dear, for your friend's anniversary, your friend's giving today.
I'm gonna go with a 4 out of 5. Excuse me, 4.5 out of 5. One of my favorite wrestlers. I know Mike might disagree. 4.5 out of 5. CM Punk 434 days WWE Champion title reign. That's what I'm gonna go.
Yes.
With.
You know what?
Yes.
Stop, Paul. You're gonna stop acting like. Okay, I hate this man. Okay, I have more t-shirts
I never said you hated him.
Of his than any of you guys. I have one of my wrestling theme songs in his show is with his music. I don't like the fact that he quit on us. Okay, but the man still books. Hey, if I could tell my job to shove it, I would do it too. So I don't know who's around there cooking something. Is that you, Micah? You're in there cooking.
That's me. I'm getting ice for my parmesan.
Okay, I've been drinking my ENJ shortly to join you. He's kind of in Japan right now. I told him to call in because they're kind of in Japan. I know that, Lance. I know that. So there we go. I'm getting all confused because I'm talking to professionals on the other line. All right, now, so we got Survivor Series. Now, before we got Survivor Series, guys, we've been trying to do this for, what, a month leading to Survivor Series, right? Let's build. Let's make this one real fast. If you could build a Super Survivor Series team out of 5, what would it be? Like the I Have the Power Power Rankings, in case you know what that is. That's a good show. You should listen on Mondays. According to Micah, and me on the Twitter says, what did you say, Micah? I took one of the best intros or audios I could take from something with the I Have the Power.
It's classic. It's the only thing that rivals that is the Thundercat call. But when it comes to power rankings, it doesn't work. So you got to have He-Man describing the power that we have to make now the Survivor Series epic team of all time.
Show drop.
This is Lance Archer of New Japan Pro Wrestling. I'm the American Psycho, and I'm the one you should be afraid of. But right now, you're listening to the best damn show on radio with Mike Knox.
Just saying. You know, so my top 5 would be, if I could make a Survivor Series team, I'm going John Cena, number 1. I'm going Dusty Rhodes, number 2. Not in no order, this is just my 5, right? So Cena, Rhodes, Macho Man, Randy Savage. Give me Rey Mysterio. I'm switching up from what we had in the inbox, right? Give me Rey Mysterio. And then number five, give me Braun fucking Strowman. I'm sorry. Guys, he is fastly becoming one of my favorite wrestlers right now. And I don't think if you're in wrestling and you like wrestling, that he's not one of your favorites right now going on. When they know how to build somebody, they know how to do it properly. And Braun's getting the push and the build that guys should have gotten, and they just didn't. And it's organic. That's my five. Give me Cena, Dusty Rhodes, Macho Man Randy Savage, Rey Mysterio Jr., not Rey Mysterio, and Braun Strowman. I think I was got a little speed on the team there. Could have picked anybody there. That's the five I just came up with on the Flynn Rim, the Hum Dum. Dice Man, give me the top Survivor Series thing right there.
Of all time, or is today's current?
Just picking a team.
I will go with Rock. I will go with CM Punk. I will go with Edge, Orton, and Sting.
Say that one more time. Edge, Sting.
Edge, Orton, Sting, The Rock, and CM Punk.
I couldn't beat your team. I try to see. I got Cena. Yes, damn, that's a strong ass team. But my team's pretty damn strong.
We're gonna smack. We would smack Rey Mysterio worse than what Brock Lesnar did when he was in that stretcher.
Yeah. He's the weak link of my team, but the other four are pretty freaking strong. And Cena.
I would take out CM Punk and throw in a cruiserweight. I would throw in Hooven Dude, as The Rock would say. I would throw in Hooven Dude to go at Rey Mysterio.
Not the Mexicos with their Juan Deers. Okay, Mike, give me your top five, and you must have a cruiserweight now, so that way my scene doesn't seem too weak.
I gotta put a cruiserweight in there?
Yep.
Because Mike, excuse my language, he fucked up the church's money, because he did this.
It doesn't matter, but see, the Bible series team. But a Survivor Series team has no limit, so it doesn't matter that he has Rey Mysterio on his team. That's his fault for picking a small guy. I mean,
my team stays the same.
That's what I'm saying. Like, your team should stay the same.
He already changed it. He already took CM Punk out and added Hooven Dude. I didn't come to do that time. He did that on his own. And because of that, now my team beats his team. Go ahead.
That's hilarious.
I got Cena, Dusty, Braun, and Macho Man Randy Savage.
Okay, fine. I'll put a short guy on. I'll put a guy who can handle Rey Mysterio. Okay, to take care of the Rey Mysterio problem, I'll put Chris Jericho. All right, I'll do that.
Good one.
Now give me Lionheart Chris Jericho. Let me go ahead and do the other original of my Survivor Series pick. Now I had to switch out one of them for a daggone whatever. So let me get Big Show. I also got Braun Strowman, Undertaker, and Kane, with Undertaker being the team, with Chris Jericho being the team captain, because it makes more sense that he has a bigger personality to be the captain of all these huge guys. So, yeah. Because my original Survivor Series team had Mark Henry on it, but I have to take away the black guy for the GOAT. So.
Oh! Because that's what I do!
Go ahead, Hugo, with your Survivor Series thing. My team beat his team.
That's funny. I'm going to put Kurt Angle, number one. I'll put Bret the Hitman Hart as number two. Number three, I'll put the Heartbreak Kid Shawn Michaels. Number four, I will put give me Sting. I like Sting. And number five, I will put the Rated R Superstar Edge.
If we had a fatal four-way Survivor Series team, my team, your team, his team, his team, it'd be you and me in the finals, Hugo. And I think y'all are beat. Y'all two teams were beat. Sorry. But Hugo's team, I would think would win.
Vaughn's team wins.
Hold on, I didn't see Vaughn's team. Where's Vaughn's team? Is it in the chat?
Vaughn's team, he's got a team.
Don't say he wins.
He's got a team.
BK, he got Brett. Oh, who you taking out, Vaughn? You got to tell us who you taking out, because you got to take out one of them. But he has Rock, Undertaker, HBK, Austin, and Brett. So which one is he gonna take out? He can put Eddie Guerrero in there. He can put Eddie Guerrero, but I don't know who he's taking out. to comedy.
From the Radicals. Radicals, Eddie. That,
well,
he's still cruiserweight. Not before he got ruined.
My team comes. That is breaking kayfabe. Okay? Well, my team comes in third. My team comes in third. I'll give it that. I can't win them all.
Yeah.
But
my team is all
Cena,
big man, so.
Cena, Dusty, Macho Man, that's, you know what? I won't even lie. No one team really loses here. I'm just, if, you know what I mean? Because there's a winner. There's winners on every goddamn team, and it's a matter of booking.
So,
matter of fact, damn it, I'm the booker. I'm the promoter. Damn it, my team wins. I'm crippling this shit. Okay.
So for quick giggles.
The lone survivor is Rey Mysterio Jr.
Oh no, he's tripping. He's tripping.
That is so Vince Russo, actually.
So for quick giggles, who would your women's squad be?
Oh, for shits and giggles, my women's squad would be the best woman wrestler of all time, Charlotte Flair, which, by the way,
oh my God.
Did y'all see the robe she came out with on yesterday? That blue robe?
I was too focused on her legs.
Even my wife said, man, that's beautiful. So give me Charlotte, the greatest women wrestler of all time, Flair. Give me Trish Stratus. Give me Lita. Give me Sensational Sherry. And because I don't consider Chyna a woman's wrestler, so I know y'all do well, and someone will put her in there. Not that I don't think she's a woman. Again, I think she's bigger than the women's division. I think, like I said last week, she's by herself. She's the eighth, ninth one of the world. And at number five, you got to have somebody young and spry. So it's easy for me to go with Alexa Bliss, but I'm going to be different, and I'm going to go with Nikki Bella.
Oh, yeah. My God.
Nikki Bella.
Your team loses off top.
F you. Okay. Okay,
hey, that's for your wife.
Nikki
that's
Bella,
for your wife, but
Nikki,
not me.
Nikki Bella is sleeping with the boss's right hand man. She might be the lone survivor. So go ahead and tell your team, Dyke, since you came up with the subject. Don't tell me I'm gonna lose off the top. Matter of fact, I'm booking his team to all get herpes before the match when he says his team. Go ahead.
I'm going to start out with Chyna. I'm going to go Trish. I'm going to throw a wild card out here, and probably the best women's wrestler to ever step foot in TNA, in Angelina Love, who should have made that jump to WWE.
Fail Yim?
No, not Gail Kim. Angelina Love. Angelina Love.
Okay. I like her.
AJ Lee, and I'm going to throw some brute strength in there, and I'm going to go with Beth Phoenix.
Nigga, I'm sorry, Mom. I shouldn't have said that. You just said brute strength. You got Chyna and Beth Phoenix. They might out testosterone each other. Go ahead. Hugo.
She had a baby with Edge. She has estrogen. Come on. Leave her alone.
Just like
I still bust
like
her.
Mint up. You'll bust any of them. Stop. What's the team? Hugo Weaver?
All right. So, okay. No, I'm here. I'm here. Sorry. Sorry about the background. I'm at the liquor store, you know, getting for this Friendsgiving.
Patron. I bet he bought Patron, y'all. I bet this brother bought Patron and Avion on the same day. And we drunk.
Oh, God.
Go ahead.
I got
Big
Eddie.
Hold on,
for
and
me.
He finished the night. And he finished the night with 1800. Yeah, you want to go party? Party with Hugo. He will show you
all
a
right.
Good damn time. That's all I'm saying. I can't wait for New Orleans. Go ahead.
I'm gonna go with AJ Lee number one because you know that's my girl. I'm gonna go with Charlotte Flair as well number two.
Number
I'm
one
gonna
diva
go
of all
with Alexa Bliss. I agree with you. I might have to agree with you on that, Mike. I'm gonna go with Alexa Bliss.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna go with. Give me Medusa, because, you know, at the end of
the
day, she was strong back in her day. Give me Medusa. Uh-huh. And number five, I will go with Paige, because you know what, man? She can go in the ring.
I thought about putting her in.
Stable, but she can go in the ring.
You know what? Since DJ did it last
I thought
time,
about
I'm
putting
taking,
her in.
I'm taking Lita out, okay? And I'm putting in Michelle McCool, who I think is very underrated as a wrestler inside the ring. Go ahead, Micah.
FYI, Vaughn Squad is China, Charlotte Flair, Trish Stratus, Lita, and Medusa.
Nice team.
Well,
I'm going to your team. Go ahead and say it, because they all going to catch her.
Oh, of course.
Well,
that's how you feel about it.
You can't get rid of herpes. But dude, they did just about the
hilarious. Oh my gosh, no. What is wrong with you? Oh my gosh. Anyway, give me oh good gosh. I want to go
they caught the clap.
Anyway.
Wow.
No.
That's good advice.
Avoid the clap. Go ahead.
The hell just happened? Give me China. Give me Nia Jax and Beth Phoenix. And I'm going to round it out with Asuka and Charlotte Flair.
Next time we do this, we're going to have to go in order. And that order, if somebody picks your person, you can't pick the other person. Because I want to see what these really be. So a lot of these teams have to.
I like that.
Okay.
You know
okay.
I mean?
Well,
I mean, you're fine.
Because
we already.
Okay.
We already did it, and we gotta get Adam out of here so I can start drinking. Okay. And you gotta start cooking, and all that good stuff. And Hugo's already in a liquor store. And I hope he gets where he's getting that state, because I love that dude right there. Y'all have no idea. That's my homie right there. So moving on. In the week or so. Yeah. All right. So here it is, guys. JMO on my stuff. It has come to my attention, right? And this is where I think. In being radio and being a human being, and first of all, being a man, okay? When a man realizes when something's pointed out that he needs to change some things about him, to me, that shows real growth. And earlier this week in our chat, I was told that I keep forgetting it, but I know it's there, Dice. What did KME say about
dismissive.
And
I, dismissive.
Dismissive.
You're dismissive of other people's opinions.
Of other people's opinions. And it bothered me because I know what the word dismissive means. And so it made me go back and it made me look. I went and listened to about 6 radio shows from like just random shows from 6 months ago, 2 years ago. And I want to apologize for anybody that's ever felt dismissive, whether that's the fans that I get on, whether that's Micah, anybody that's in the program, KME, King Vaughn Jr., I started this radio program, this podcast, 9 years ago because I got tired of Facebook and I got tired of WIP radio and all these radio stations, the Stephen A. Smiths of the world that had this opinion and they were getting paid 6 figures to do it. So I figured, hell, I want to get paid to have my opinion. And in the process of doing that, I didn't know that I would turn this into having 2 shows in the UK and having new Twitch show and 2 shows in California, a show in Chicago and the No Foul Play. And so we've had so many shows in this network that was never my plan. My plan was to do something for myself, which was the best damn show on radio, which turned into BDSR Network. And so for that, I'm apologizing to the fans. I never meant to be dismissive of anybody's opinion. I have so much passion that my crew, past, present, and future, you guys know how to poke the bear when it comes to me, especially King Vaughn. And when y'all poke the bear, it brings out something in me. You know what I'm saying? So I think once the bear is poked, I become that way. Early on, I think I'm very open. But once the bear starts getting poked and I know y'all poking me on purpose, I think that comes out. And so that's not being an excuse. That's me telling you what happened in the process. Here I am apologizing to the world, to the fans, to my crew. I will try moving forward to not be dismissive towards you guys' opinions.
I'm going to jump in right after that apology, and I'm going to tell you that you don't need to apologize. Reason why is if you ever see somebody like, you know who you remind me of? You remind me of somebody like LeVar Ball. You might think that what he's saying is bullshit. You might think what he's saying is bullshit, but he's really passionate about it, period. And the only person that's going to call him on his shit and they're going to say something just equally passionate, you need a Stephen A. Smith to convert with your LeVar Ball. That's what you need. You know who that is? That's me.
Can
that's
be.
Me. Because I don't care about your attitude. I'm going to tell you. I don't care. I don't care. I love it.
Dice has always said that when we be in Xbox chat and I be letting people have it and they talk trash behind my back, I should be like, y'all just don't know how to talk back to them.
And me and Dice will sit there and cuss each other out and be just fine after we're done. Just fine.
I think that's the way the thing is. Like, not everybody knows how to exactly jump in when they're supposed to speak their mind, and they don't. So it's like when you get really passionate about something, especially pro wrestling or anything that has to do with any type of sport, it goes overboard and they don't know how to take it. And I think that's not a knock on you. That's a knock on anybody who can't stand up for their opinion or their point that they're trying to make.
The other day on Soul and Sport, Micah said something, and I don't know what happened. This is what I brought up earlier. He said my blind tag. We all know. I told you guys what it is. Should be kept to a minute. I must have went on for 6 minutes. And Micah came back and said, "Damn, that was the longest blind tag." Jay Chris Techie said, "What are you still talking for?" You know. So that's what the apology's for. Moving on. I said it. Maybe I shouldn't have said it, but it was said already. This week in wrestling was nuts, people. Was absolutely crazy from War Games to Survivor Series to Monday Night Raw into SmackDown last night. I'm going to start with you, Hugo, because I know you're probably about to leave it soon. So I want to see if you can go ahead and get this in. What was your thoughts on Monday Night Raw, Paige coming back, bringing in my girl, Mandy? Me and my son voted for you every single Tuesday. And also what happened on SmackDown with the new girls coming in to both programs, beating down every woman that's in the organization, and most importantly, what happened yesterday's main event on SmackDown, I thought was telling that the whole locker room turns on Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. Your thoughts of Raw and SmackDown real fast. I'll go, you're about to leave us.
No, it's fine. No, Raw was great. Raw, you know, I thought Raw was fantastic. A great lead-up show back from the Survivor Series. Great to see Paige with the new girls also coming in. I thought it was great the way that they just attacked and basically decimated the whole women's division. It was just a good overall show, man. I really, you know what? I'm kind of glad that Roman Reigns also won the title from The Miz, because I want to see what they're going to go ahead and do with that, if they are going to go in the direction of Roman Reigns actually winning, because the more at WrestleMania, because the more and more that I see it, the more and more I believe they're trying to go into a different storyline, Mike. That's what I'm guessing, because this whole Shield thing is looking strong, man. It's looking strong. So we'll see what happens at that.
I tell you, the only thing about that bothered me was the way they celebrated. I didn't know how to really feel, because I didn't know if it was it because a lot of fans say, whether you like Roman or not, right? Let's take that part out of the equation. They say that the championship means nothing to these guys, right? He act like it meant the world to him. And I thought that was cool. Whether it was genuine or not, I can care less. I thought as the story, that was cool. The way the Shield gave him the title, they were hanging all over him. I thought that was cool, but it also let me say what I've been hiding and not wanting to say it ever since Micah said it. And it showed on Monday. The Shield was created to hide Roman. It was so evident on Monday Night Raw. It was so evident on Survivor Series. The Shield exists to shield Roman away from the fans. Since Roman Reigns has gotten back with the Shield, he is actually being cheered now by millions of people that booed him.
Yep. He needed that run from him. He needed the run from the other two guys. And then
Blind tag. I had cobwebs in my ear. Let me get some alcohol real quick. Let me get some rubbing. Alcohol real quick.
Okay, you should have been listening. Go back, rewind the tape, listen to the podcast. Me and DJ does every week, so maybe y'all can join us. Go ahead,
I thought SmackDown was good. I only was able to catch the last hour. But I thought SmackDown was good, at least from what I see at the end. The thing is that I didn't like the whole fact that the other three women now are reviewing to SmackDown Live the way that they did it, kind of like Monday Night Raw. Yes, I know that they're trying to promote the girls, you know, these girls obviously to the main roster, but they should have done it in another way. I think the other way, because it was definitely just a copycat of what they did on Monday Night Raw. AJ Styles versus it's going to be AJ Styles versus Jinder Mahal. You know, it is what it is. He obviously gets his rematch clause, but I thought overall the week in wrestling, ever since Survivor Series on, man, it was great. I definitely you know, if we're going to give a belt grade overall, I'm going to give it a 4.5 out of 5 CM Punk WWE title runs because they kept the momentum going, and I'm excited to see what's going to happen towards the end of the year and going into the Royal Rumble, man. I'm really, really excited.
What do you think about the fans that say that now Finn Balor and Bobby Roode are now being buried by the company?
How are they being buried?
I don't know. That's what they, that's the word.
That's what I'm saying.
That's
how House I'm way.
All right. We
how
don't know.
Buried. I have no idea.
Listen, listen. I know we don't get along all the time when it comes to our wrestling philosophy, but when y'all start thinking like I think, it's like a proud father. Go ahead, Michael. Your thoughts of the week in wrestling.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I have to wonder why people. First of all, Finn Balor and a Samoa Joe match, that's not a burial of any kind. That's Finn Balor and Samoa Joe. If Finn Balor won that match, Samoa Joe wasn't going to get buried. So, I mean, it was a good match between two guys who had a who had conflict in NXT. They went back and forth for the NXT championship, for the NXT title in NXT. So it makes sense that Joe will win one. Maybe Finn Balor will win another one. It's okay. If Finn Balor brings up that demon dude, he'll probably win the next match against Samoa Joe. It's okay, guys. Calm down. And Bobby Roode just getting his momentum. He's not going to get – he didn't get buried, what, because he tried to throw for a Triple H? No, Triple H and him the same guy. Like, give me that nonsense. They stand here and listen to this baloney. Y'all people are stupid. Anyway, but no, I enjoyed what was going on in the week of wrestling. There was someone, because I'm on another thread, another wrestling thread, that was complaining about Braun Strowman being hurt by a chair to the throat, citing that Braun Strowman was nearly murdered two times. He was nearly murdered two times, ambulance and a garbage truck. Okay, first of all, you know, here's what we got to understand. Okay, oh, I thought I played something. Anyway, so here's what we got to understand. It's a chair to the throat, and even monsters among men still have to breathe. Hey, Mike Knox, there's 3 X's in your name because you're hardcore. Your wife says that you're a monster among men. I wonder what would happen if you cut off circulation to the monster among men. It won't work as well.
I don't know. She still gives you my JoJo. I'm happy.
Hey, there you go.
God.
No,
I'm just...
Don't work.
Oh, God. Baloney. He doesn't
stand for baloney. Oh, that's hilarious. But that's hilarious. It's definitely baloney. But, you know, so when I saw that and I saw the reaction, I was like, hey, guys, Braun Strowman has got murdered twice and came back from that. And him walking away on his own power while clutching his throat trying to breathe is another sign that you just can't do basic things to him to stop him. Hello?
Mm-hmm.
You know? I mean, it's just good common sense stuff. I thought Raw was real good, well-paced. They actually made some things relevant. They're relevant for Raw. Of course, the cool-down match of the night was a cruiserweight match. But at the same time, Enzo trips me. Yo, Enzo still trip, yo. The dude's like, he's like walking. He's like a walking. You remember the drug that was real popular for a while called Molly? He's like a walking version of that. He's like a walking version of Molly. Because it's just Molly and meth.
I don't know what Molly and meth tastes like, so you tell us something new. I ain't know about that shit. All I know about was some little weed every once in a while. You tripping.
No, I just, you know.
Only Molly we acknowledge is Molly Holly with her fat ass.
It's Molly Holly. Oh, God. Molly Holly. I'm good Lord Almighty. Good God.
Molly Holly.
Molly Holly.
Oh, man. Oh.
Stop it now. You got to submit this to Molly Holly and Michelle McCool and Lay Cool and AJ Lee.
And
we
Keeler.
Need you back. They all coming back
Stacey
for the Women's Royal Rumble. That's all you need to know.
Ooh,
go ahead. All of them. Gotta have them all. They've got so many women that gotta have them. Royal Rumble. Go ahead, Dice. Your thought of the week in wrestling.
Oh, man, I could not wait to tell you about my week in wrestling and what I thought. God damn. Anyway, I thought Raw was super, super good. I thought it was amazing. The highlight for me was definitely my pasty baby Paige coming back. Oh, I've missed me some Paige. I don't give a damn about the sex tape. She could ride me like Xavier any day of the week. I do not give a flying shit. However, I do think that I think fans have it wrong about the Intercontinental Championship not being, you know, they saying it doesn't have prestige. You can thank The Miz that the Intercontinental Championship has prestige. That championship has
what?
Just as much
you
prestige.
Thank, you thank Cody Rhodes for that. Stop.
No. Bullshit. You
Cody
can thank
Rhodes,
the
Cody
Miz.
Cody Rhodes changed that title back to the white. Cody Rhodes changed that title back. When Cody Rhodes got it, it became prestigious again to the Miz, elevated it from the prestige. But Cody Rhodes started that shit back on his course. I'm going to stick to that one. Sorry, that wasn't a blind tag. I shouldn't have spoke out of turn. I'm going to stand with you.
I'm going to call complete and utter bullshit because okay, just because he bought the strap back to white does not mean that he did anything with it. The Miz defended it. He promoted it. He made sure that he did whatever he needed to do to keep that title, therefore making it prestige. That title is just as prestige as it was when Razor Ramon and Shawn Michaels was fighting for it. It's just as that good. And that's just my opinion. I know everybody else has theirs, but I'm more excited about an Intercontinental Championship match than I've been, and I can tell you at least 4 or 5 years to even come close to, you know, the excitement that I have about it now. So I thought that was pretty dope. I'm definitely down with I don't agree with this philosophy that people think that Roman is going to turn on the Shield. I don't think that they'll do another heel turn twice again for somebody from the Shield. I think I think they want it to a point where they will just ultimately decide to, hey, we got all these titles. I think the Shield will have at least the Tag Team Championship and the Intercontinental Championship or the World Championship. Either one, they'll have three titles together. And then they just like, we run this company, but we're doing our single thing, yada, yada, yada. So I don't think that they'll do it twice. I don't want to see another Destruction of the Shield DVD again, you know, just because, like, you know, they did this to save Roman.
That's the longest sandwich ever appeared on. I'll let you have your sandwich wiki moment, and I won't go into this debate because what you said, but I will stick by my thoughts that Cody Rhodes is the reason why. But give me a bell, Greg. We got a phone call coming in from Minority Mike, I think you said his name was. He said that Micah will know who he is. Emmy Richmond will know who he is. So give me a bell, Greg, so we can just call on the line.
Okay. My bell grade is a 4 out of 5. A 4 out of 5 Uncle Eddie Guerrero title reigns from when he won it off of Brock Lesnar.
And I don't disagree with that. I'm not saying that Cody's better than Miz. Okay? I'm just saying I never said that. So there you have it. I'm going to give wrestling also this week a 4 out of 5. I thought SmackDown kind of fell short. I didn't like the copycat that they did a little bit with that. I just thought Raw was a better show as far as how it was paced. I just think Raw's on fire now. I think Raw has been on fire for the last month leading into Survivor Series. So I give it a 4 out of 5 for Raw and SmackDown combined grade. I'm going to give it I'm also going to give it to Uncle Eddie, but I'm going to give the my favorite title that Eddie Guerrero brought back into, which is the Color, which is the U.S. title that he brought in. So 4 out of 5 Eddie Guerrero U.S. Championships. We got
Quick question. I got a quick question.
Hold that question. Oh, that
okay.
Question.
Okay.
Oh, questions. I already brought them on. Hey, Mike, you're on with Perfect Plex Talk Radio. You said Emmy Richard knows who you are.
Yes, that's right. We used to do some stuff back in the day. Went out too far back in the day, like a year ago.
Yes, sir.
What's going on, buddy? How you doing?
Total Sport. Anyway, it was good, man. It's been wonderful. It's been a blessing being on Fox Sports Radio, doing things with BDSR Networks. It's kind of funny. I was hanging out with one mic, then I went to another mic, and every time I get with a mic, it's always the best mic at Mike and Radio. So it's fantastic. It's wonderful, come on. It's wonderful.
That's good, man. He's been trying to get me to call in for a while, man, and my schedule has just been so crazy. So, like, once he told me that you guys are on, I was like, I'm on my way to work right now. I have an opportunity to call real quick while I'm in the car. I want to hear you guys' thoughts. I don't know if you guys covered it yet about this whole thing with Vince McMahon, you know, losing the Finn Balor. He's claiming that Finn isn't over enough.
I touched that a little bit first. And here's my thing, Mike. And I have a hashtag going that I truly, as a wrestling fan, believe in. That's hashtag the dirt sheets. And I also have another belief that I'm starting today for the first time. I don't know Dave Meltzer personally. I know his history and what he's done.
Trash.
I've been in this business long enough, and I have enough insight
connections. And I know I don't have the 345,000 followers that some other shows have, but my Rolodex speaks for itself. Everything he says is not gospel. But it's been taken as it's been gospel lately. I don't believe that as far as I can spit a loogie. Okay? And here's my reason why. I said this earlier beginning of the show that you might have missed. Go back and watch this on Stitcher, iTunes, Google Play, wherever you got a smartphone, you can find us. Go ahead and listen to it. And I said, for anybody who thinks that he's being buried, go back to Survivor Series when Triple H came in the ring. What was the first thing Triple H did when he saw Finn Balor? He gave him the two sweet signs. As long as Triple H still has some power in that company, and we all know that he does, just because he's not going against Brock Lesnar, which I also, as a fan, thought was a bad idea in the first place, doesn't mean he's being buried. You know? That's my take on that. And you got anything to add to that one, Micah or Dice?
You know, I understand that Dave Meltzer really is never really the most reliable person in the business, but sometimes when he hits, he does hit, but when he misses, he, like, really misses bad. The whole thing with me, I'm a huge Finn Balor mark. I may be sometimes biased when it comes to Finn Balor because I've loved Finn Balor. Balor is one of the reasons why I love wrestling, because he just makes it so unique and authentic. In my opinion, some people hate him. Some people think he's too small. I personally love him. Going to that Survivor Series match, I mean, I wish, like, a guy like John Cena, I know how Emmy loves John Cena, but a guy like John Cena, there's no reason for him to even be in this match, and he's there getting a spotlight from someone else that could. If he's in this match, I understand he's there to put over a young talent, and I was kind of hoping that, you know, if they're planning to go Finn Balor Brock, I think a pin on John Cena eliminating him from the match would have been great. It would have been a good way to kind of add some stock to a guy like Finn Balor who's going to be facing a guy like Brock. Instead, Kurt Angle gets the pin. And then at the end of the night, you have – it kind of reminded me of the 1999 WCW, where you had all the young talent get put off by all the old vets. Because at the end of the night, besides – with the exception of Braun Strowman, you had all the older guys standing tall. And that kind of bothered me a little bit.
Here's my thing to that. I agree that, you know, you if Cena's going to be there, have him put somebody over. But he's there because they were afraid that this pay-per-view wasn't getting enough advertisement and notification and notoriety. Sorry. And whether you like him, don't like him, different towards him or not, I personally am a fan of his. You add John Cena to this match, and people automatically, who are just your casual wrestling fans, will, you know, listen and watch and pay attention from there. As we lost Hugo, and we know he's now going off to do his Thug Sizzle on his anniversary. Thank you, Hugo. You could have told us you were gone. You know, bye. You know, we want to have a drink too. Michael want to make some spaghetti yams or whatever the hell he's going to make tonight. A pizza burger. Who knows what Michael's going to make? I should make a pizza burger. Before Mike came on, Mike, thanks for your call. Hold on a second, if you can, as you're on your way to work. Go ahead, Dice. What's your thought?
Okay, so the thing I wanted to ask is, do we need – I love her to death. I really love everything about her. But do we actually need – I thought it was pretty good that they split them up. But do we actually need Ruby Riott right now when we just had Paige come back? Like, to me, Ruby Riott reminds me of Paige so much. She's got the pasty look. She has the attitude. She has the ferociousness. But she, like, I don't feel like we actually need her up on the main roster. But at the same time, I wanted to ask this as well. How do you treat NXT? Because me personally, when I watch NXT, I watch NXT as its own entity. I hate when people say, oh, they're going to get the call up. NXT to me feels like a completely different company than what WWE is. Is that just me, or does anybody else feel that way?
No, I think it does feel like a different company because it is a different company, and I'm not gonna disagree with that process of it being a different company, but it's still the same company, and that's something that I've always said and I've always thought, you know, about everything. It's like, yeah, but I agree with you. I don't think you need Nikki brought up when you have Paige there as well. Your take on that one, Micah?
I'm perfectly fine with Ruby Riott being there. They just want to balance out the numbers, just make sure they get their 20 women, so they can go ahead and have their Women's Royal Rumble at the Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
Cause, I mean, come on, they telegraphed the hell out of that. And granted, I think if some more one-on-one stuff in the women's matches would have been a very positive thing for them. Ruby Riott it doesn't remind me of Paige at all. There's nothing. She's not as thick. She's not as cute. She's not as tall.
Thick. Did you say Paige was
yeah.
thick?
I think Ruby Riott is definitely Paige. She's thicker than Paige, but she doesn't have any ass. She doesn't have.
No,
she has.
No,
she suffers from no ass at all.
No.
Severely.
Yeah, not at all. Yeah, not at all.
Her and Charlotte Flair both.
Charlotte Flair is in severe condition.
Straight
she's in stage four not at all.
She just has really
four,
nice long legs.
Yeah, don't mind legs too much. But no, I mean, I don't see. I mean, Dice, I can understand what you're saying, but I don't see it. If you disagree, cool. Find me on Grand Theft Auto 5. We'll fight it out. But at the end of the day, I thought that was fine. I think it's going to be fine. I just lost my train of thought. Why did I just lose my train of thought? I hate life. The hell. We were just talking about it. Why did I lose my train of thought, Mike Knox?
I don't
bring
know.
Me back. Bring me back.
I don't know what your thought was, but my thought was just to say we catch on next week. So you better hurry before you catch this audio clip.
No. You go ahead. Close it out because we're not supposed to wake up tomorrow morning and say what.
What's up, everybody? This is the Ace of Belts, Dave Milliken, WWE Championship Beltmaker, and you're listening to the BDSR Network with Mike Knox and the crew.
I didn't mean to hit that. That was completely wrong. Hey, guys.
So how many drinks? Hold on.
Real quick, before we go on. Dave Meltzer's a piece of shit if he don't think that Sting is a Hall of Famer. I'm done with this
what?
Motherfucker. He's a piece of shit
think
if he thinks
a Hall of Famer.
That's what Vaughn just posted in the chat. He just said that Dave Meltzer said Sting is not a Hall of Famer. You motherfucker, you better go suck 10 dicks with passion.
Oh, good
he
Lord.
Is the greatest entity from WCW ever. Period. I don't want to hear about it.
You know Ric Flair's
not
going to
get an argument
right?
for me.
Just to say.
Yeah, but he was from down south. Sting wasn't from down south. Sting was pure WCW.
Sting, what do you mean down south?
The territory, he was. Yeah.
Georgia?
Flair was. Yeah. Before they even started, oh my God, I can't do it right now. I can't do it right now. Listen, save that point. Save that point for next show.
I got you.
Because you got me fired up about my boy right now.
Have a safe and happy Thanksgiving. Drink responsible. Go Chargers. Okay.
Yes, sir. Bold up, baby.
How about the Eagles? Do not wake up tomorrow morning and say to yourself, I love me some meat and don't love God. We out of here, y'all. Wrestling has been fun because you have been part of the show. Peace.
You have no idea what you got involved with. You have no idea who you're messing with.
Mike Knox.
No idea. Congratulations.
Y'all better tune in to Monday nights after Raw. To the only show doing a recap when it goes off. You know how Mondays go. Watch it Raw first. Then listening to the Perfect Flex Radio. Shout out to the CEO, my homie Mike Knox.
What up?
AKA the Stephen A. Smith, the wrestler.
Get out of here with that.
And if you ever met him, you know he knows it's wrestling.